Malamad Aleph at the top of the page. So the Mishnah says, Nazir Shegilach, Vinodalo Shehutame, Imtuma Yedua Soser, Vimtumas Tehom, Eno Soser, Im Ad Shalogilach, Bainkach Uvainkach Soser. So the Mishnah makes the following distinction. Imagine you have a Nazir, he finishes his period of Naziras, he already shaved his hair, he thinks he's done, and then he finds out that a week ago he became Tame, and he just only found out about it right now. So the Mishnah says it depends on the nature of that tumah. If it's what's called tumah yidua, which for right now we'll just translate as tumah that people knew about. And again, we'll see the Gemara is going to clarify this in a second. So that's going to undermine his whole count. He has to do the naziros all over again. But if it's tumas tahom, which again, for now we'll translate as tumah that most people were unaware of, even maybe the Nazir himself was unaware of at the time, he only found out about it after the fact, so that does not undermine his count, he does not have to count his Naziris over again. If, however, he hasn't shaved at all yet, so then even tumas tahom is going to undermine his count. Then the Mishnah says, Ketzad, Yarad Litbo Bamar. So imagine the following case. A guy goes in, a Nazir goes in to a cave. He goes down to dip into the water in a cave. V'nimtza meis tsof al pi hama'ara tamei. Nimtza meshuka bekarka hama'ara, yarad lahaker tahor, litoher mitumas meis tamei, shecheskas tamei tamei, v'cheskas tahor tahor, sheraglayim ladavar. So basically, the Mishnah makes the following distinction. If the Nazir goes into a cave, and there's a dead body floating at the entrance of the cave, that's tumah yidua. Everyone can see the body there. It's not hidden away anywhere. So in that scenario, the Mishnah says that the Nazir, even if he's already shaved, he's going to be tumah. He's going to have to start his Naziris all over again. However, if it's what's called meshuka bakarka, if the dead body is all the way down in the ground or in the water and it only floated up later and they only found out about it after, so then the Mishnah says it depends why he went into the cave in the first place. If he just went in to go for a dip, he wanted to cool off, so then he's tahar. But if he went in for the purpose of actually toveling there, then he's tame. Why? Because if a person is going to tovel, the presumption is that they're obviously tame. You don't go to tovel if you're not tame. So the assumption is that we follow the previous chazaka. The previous presumptive status is that this person is tame. And now that we found a dead body floating here, so we think that his whole tevilo was meaningless, and therefore he's still tame. Whereas if he just went for a dip, so the assumption is that he's probably tar, and therefore he's still going to be tar, and therefore if they only found out about the body after the fact, he doesn't have to start his naziros all over again. Fine.
So that's the limitations here?
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like, well, like, I mean, shaving the hair is kind of this like demarcation line, right? Meaning,
if he finds out a month after,
no. It doesn't make a difference when he finds out. All that matters is the nature of the tumah and whether he shaved. There's only two things the Mishnah mentions. Okay, so asks the Gemara, Manahani Nile, how do we know that there should be a distinction between whether the tumah was known to everyone or whether it was hidden away? So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Da Amar Kra, V'chiyamus Meisalav Bethesa Pisom. Alav b'michuveres lo. So Rabbi Eliezer darshens the pasuk in Parshas Naso that says if a nazir encountered a mace suddenly, right? He out of the blue there was a dead body lying around. So the Gemara interprets the word alav to mean michuveres lo. It has to be clear, obvious, something that you know people know about, not just that it's hidden away. Reish Lakish Amar Amarkra ki yehi tamei la nefesh over derech rechoka ki derech ma derech begalui av kol begalui. Reish Lakish is a different source for this distinction, which is based on a pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha that talks about the din of Pesach Sheni. Right, we know that the din is that if a person was either tamei or they were too far away to bring Pesach Rishon, they have to bring Pesach Sheni. So the pasuk uses the term bederech rechoka. They were too far away. So the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, just as a derech, a path, is something which is obvious, which is known to everyone, so too, the only time the Nazir is going to be Tameh is if the Tumah was known. So asks the Gemara, Ve'ela hadisnan, Ezohi Tumah satahom, Kol she'eno makira echad besofa olam, Ava makira echad besofa olam, Ein zo Tumah satahom, Bishlam alamanda amar ki derech shapir, Ela alamanda amar b'michu veres lo, Ki makira echad besofa olam, May have. So the problem is like this. There's a Tosefta that appears in Maseches Zavin that defines what exactly Tumah satahom is. The Tosefta says that Tumah satahom just means that no one in the world knows about this tumah. But if there's even one guy out there that knows that there's tumah here, that there's a dead body on the bottom of the cave or whatever, so then that's not called tumah satahom. So the problem is that explanation only makes sense according to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was the one who said that the distinction between tumah satahom and tumah yidua is the idea that the whole world knows about it or nobody knows about it. So that's exactly what the Tosefta says. But according to Rebbe Eliezer, he darshens in the word alav in Parshas Naso, he understands that the idea is that it has has to be obvious to the Nazir. The Nazir has to have known about the Tumah. So what does it matter that some guy halfway across the world knows that there was a dead body in the cave? The Nazir doesn't know about it. That's not going to help you, according to Rebbe Eliezer. That's one question. V'su hadasanya hamotzi meis mushkav l'rachba shel derech b'sruma tameh b'nazir uva asiyas pesach tar. Maishna, and then we have another problem. Also, another Tosefta Masechet Zavin that says the following. Let's say you have a guy walking along the road, and there's a dead body lying along the width of the road. So the question is this person considered Tamei, or do we assume that he's still Tahar? So Tosefta says that it depends. For the purposes of eating Truma, we treat the person as being Tamei. However, for the purposes of a Nazir, you know, contracting Tuma, or for the purposes of a person consuming the Karban Pesach, we assume that they're still going to be Tahar. So the question is, what's the difference? So says the Gemara, you have to say that this halacha, this concept that there should be a distinction between tumah satahom versus tumah yidua, in other words, the idea that no one knows about the tumah or someone knows about the tumah, that's all the halacha l'moshe misina. There's really no rhyme or reason for this halacha, and that's why all the questions that we were throwing at Rabbi Eliezer based on his drasha don't really hold up at the end, because at the end of the day, these psukim that the Gemara quoting, they're just remazim, they're just asmachtas, but the real source for this distinction is really based on a halacha l'moshe misina. Fine. Then the Mishnah said, im ad Gilach, Mantana. The Mishnah noted that if the Nazir has yet to shave his hair, so then even for Tumas HaTahom, he has to restart the entire Nazirah. So who's the Tana that is the author of that opinion? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer, to Amar Tiglachas Me'akevis. This reflects a sheet that we quoted way back on Daf Yudalid. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the shaving of the Nazir is Me'akev. It's a critical component of the conclusion of his Nazirah. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, if the Nazir has not yet shaved, then basically his Nazirah is not over yet. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if the Nazir were to become Tamei in any degree, whether it's Tumah Yidua, whether it's Tumas HaTahom, before he shaves his hair, that's going to undermine the entire Nazirus and he has to start all over. Fine. Then the Gemara says, "Bay Rami Bar Chama, Nitma Besoch Melos, Venoda La'achar Melos Mahu, Basar Yedia Azlinan V'Yedia Achar Melosi." Olo. So the Gemara wants to know, again, basically the same case that we've been mentioning. So the Nazir became Tamei during his period of Nazirus, but he only found out about it after the fact, once his Nazirus is already terminated. So the question is, do we follow the time that he found out about it, which was already La'achar Malos, after his conclusion of the Nazirus? Or maybe no, maybe you follow the time that he actually became Tamei, which is when he was still a Nazir. So the Gemara asks, Ulamai Lemistar. And what would the Nafkamina be, whether his Tumah follows his Yediyah, or whether he follows the time that he actually became Tamei? So obviously the Nafkamina is going to be whether it undermines his previous count and he has to restart his Nazirus, as we've been talking about on this entire Amud. So the Gemara tries to answer this question. Amar Rava Tashma, im ad shelo gilach bin kachu bin kach sosar. The Mishnah said that if the Nazir found out that he became Tamei, whether it was Tumas HaTahom or whether it was Tumas Yedua, if he hasn't shaved his hair yet, so he has to restart his Nazirus. So the Gemara says, Heichi Dami, id is yedale besoch melos tzricha lemeimar, el alav liachar melos shma mina. It can't be that the Nazir found out that he became Tameh while he was still a Nazir, because then it's obvious that he has to restart his Nazirus. There's no Chiddush in that halacha. Obviously, it means that the case was that he found out that he became Tameh after the fact, after his Nazirus had already terminated. So this would seem to solve the Gemara's question that if he finds out La'achar Malos after his Nazirus terminated, he still has to restart the Nazirus. So that seems to be the answer. In other words, you follow the person's, the time that they became Tameh, even though they only found out about it after the fact, it doesn't matter. It's going to undermine their Nazirus. So then the Gemara says, Adayanti Boylecha, Kulo Soser, Oshiva Sos. Then we have a further question. When we say that finding out that he became Tameh undermines his Nazirus, well, the question is, to what degree does it undermine the Nazirus? Does it fully undermine it? Meaning, does a Nazir have to now count a full 30 days of Nazirus again? Or no, maybe it just undermined the previous 7 days. So the Gemara clarifies, Lamat, Ilema le Rabbanan, Pshita de Kulo Soser, the Ilu Rabbi Eliezer, Kol Acher Melos, Shiva Soser. So this goes back to a machlokas we spoke about back on Daf Tezayin between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Rabbanan, they assume that any form of Tumah is going to fully undermine the Nazirus. So that's not even a question. According to the Rabbanan, it obviously undermines the entire Nazirus and the Nazir has to recount 30 days. But according to Rabbi Eliezer back on Daf Tezayin, he thinks that any time that a Nazir becomes Tameh after the conclusion of his Nazirus, but before he shaves, it only undermines the previous 7 days, not the full 30 days. So the Gemara says, Amar lecha hani mile ki nitma acher melos, v'hai lifnei melosu, o dilma shayni hacha dia dia acher melosi. So in other words, the Gemara raises a question within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, when Rebbe Eliezer said that if a Nazir becomes Tame after the completion of his Nazirus, that it only undermines the previous 7 days, does that mean that you know, because this is considered to be Lefnei Malos, this Tuma is before the termination of his Nazirus, that's why it undermines a full 30, but if it were to be after, it would only undermine 7, or maybe no. Maybe because the Nazir discovered that he became Tame after the fact, that also only undermines the previous 7 days. So what's the answer? Umina, Katani Binkach, Uvinkach, Soser, Veloka, Miflege. The Mishnah gives the answer explicitly. The Mishnah says that in both cases, it undermines the Nazirus, and therefore, and there's no machlokas about that. In other words, it sounds like even according to Rebbe Eliezer, this scenario when the Nazir finds out that he became Tame after the fact, but the Tumah occurred before the end of his Nazirus, that is going to undermine the full 30 days. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, Hamotzi Meis Muta L'Rachba Shel Derech L'Sruma Tame, Uve Nazir Uve Osa Pesach. This is what we quoted on previous Amud. Again, this is a Tosefta Masech Ezov, and Gemara Pesachim quotes this as well. Person is walking along the path, they find a dead body lying along the width of the path, and maybe they were unaware of it at the time. So when it comes to the halachas of Truma, we treat them as being Tame. However, when it comes to the laws of a Nazir, or for bringing a Karim Pesach, we treat them as being Tahar. So the Gemara explains, Bamed Dvar Mamurim She'en Lo Makom La'Avor, Aval Yesh Lo Makom La'Avor Af L'Sruma Tahar. That's assuming that there was nowhere else to pass, that the body was literally taking up the entire width of the path. But if there was room to maneuver around the body, then even for the purposes of Truma, we would assume that the person is still Tahar. And then the Gemara clarifies further, Bamed Dvar Mamurim She'mitza'u Shalim, Aval Meshubar O Mefurak, Afilu Ein Makom La'Avor, Chayshinan Shema Bin Pirkin Avar, Uve Kever, Afilu Meshubar Mefurak Tame, Mimnesha Kever Mitzarfo. This is all assuming that the body was fully intact. That's when we draw a distinction between Truma on the one hand and Nazir and Karim Pesach on the other. But if, let's say, the body was dismembered or was in pieces, so then even if it takes up the entire width of the path, we don't assume the person is Tame even for the purposes of Truma, because we think the person can, you know, tiptoe around the various parts of the body. But that's assuming that it's not in a cemetery. If it's in a Kever, if it's in a cemetery in a grave, then the grave combines all the parts of the body anyway, and therefore it's going to make the person Tame. So the Gemara clarifies again.
But yeah. If this corpse is underground and he did not know about it,
yeah,
is the assumption here that if there was a path on the side or some way to go around that he went around it, even though he might not have gone.
Correct. That's the assumption, because as we've spoken about briefly in the past, and we're going to talk a lot more about this in the next Masechta and Sota, whenever you have a suffix of Tumah and Rishus Harabim, we're always lenient, right? In other words, if you have a doubt that arose regarding Tumah in a public setting, so we're always going to be makil about that. So in other words, we're looking for any loophole to say the guy probably didn't become Tumah here. So that's what in other words, we have to find legitimate loopholes. So we say the body was.
The guy said, I walked straight down the
It doesn't make a difference. In other words, it doesn't make a difference. If there's any possible way, if there's any theoretical, again, if the body's literally fully intact, taking up the whole thing, then obviously the guy's done it. But if there's any way, if the body was dismembered, if the body wasn't in a grave, again, you have to look at all of these limiting principles the Gemara's quoting, but if there's any way out of it, so then we're going to try to be makeup. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Bamed dvar mamurim b'mahalich baraglav aval ton orach of tamei l'fisha mahalich baraglav efshe lo shelo yigav v'shelo yasid v'shelo yahil ton orach of efshe shelo yigav v'shelo yasid v'shelo yahil." The Gemara has another qualifier here. The Gemara says these halachos, these leniencies that we say that the person can tiptoe around the various dismembered parts of the corpse. That's assuming that he's actually walking. If he's walking, okay, so it's easy for him to maneuver around the corpse. Let's say the guy is riding on an animal. Let's say the guy is carrying a heavy burden where he's, you know, it's forcing him to zigzag along the path. He can't walk in a straight line, so then we have to assume that he's probably tummy. Then the Gemara says, "Bamed dvarim amurim betumas hatahom aval tuma yedua shlushdan tumeim." Then the Gemara clarifies further that if it's tuma yedua, if it's a tuma that everyone knew about, so then all three cases, by truma, by nazir, and by karmen pesach, we assume the guy is tummy. So what's the definition here? Ve'ezo he tumas hatahom kol she'in makira echad besofa olam makira echad besofa olam into tumas hatahom. As we quoted on the previous summit, if anyone in the world knows about it, it's not tumas hatahom; it's called tuma yedua. Then the Gemara says, Tumen b'seven obit sororos harezo tumasat home biyamim uva afila uven akike haselaim enzo tumasat home velo amru tumasat home elalameis bilvad. So then the Gemara says, if you have a corpse that was buried or lying underneath a pile of straw or some pebbles or rocks or whatever, so that's called tumasat home. The assumption is no one's looking under that. But if the body was in a shallow body of water or in a dark area or under a cleft of a rock or something like that, so that's an area that people eventually will discover, and therefore that's not called Tumas HaTehom. The Gemara has one final qualifier, which is that this whole principle of Tumas HaTehom only applies specifically to Tumas Mase. It doesn't apply to other forms of Tumas, you know, Tumas Sheretz or Tumas Shechva Zera. It only applies specifically to Tumas Mase. Fine. Then we said, Ketzad Yarad, Tzafa Ina Metama Le'inyin Sheretz. Disanya, Tzafik Tuma Tzafa Bein Bechilim Bein Bekarka Tehora. Reb Shimon Omer Bechilim Temeya Bekarka Tehora. So the Mishnah told us that the Nazir goes down into the cave, right? So, and if the body is floating at the entrance to the cave, we said that he's going to, that the assumption there, that's Tumi Yedua, so he's going to be Tumi. So the Gemara clarifies that if the, let's say, for example, you have a Sheretz, you have a dead mouse or whatever, that's floating, so that's not Metame. So the Gemara quotes the following Machlokas. According to the Tanakama, let's say I have a Suffolk regarding Tumas Sheretz. So if the Suffolk is floating, whether it's in a vessel, whether it's underground, so that's going to be Tahor according to the Tanakama. According to Reb Shimon, it's only Tahor if the Sheretz is floating underground, under a well or whatever, but if it's floating in a vessel, then it's going to be Tumi. So my time at the Tanakama, what's the logic? Amar of Yitzchak Bar Avudimi, Ksiv B'chol HaSheretz HaShoretz, Kol Makum Shehu Shoretz, Uksiv Al Ha'aretz, HaKeitzad, Vadai Maga Otame, Suffolk Maga Otahor. So the Gemara makes the following point. There's Psukim and Parashat Shmini that talk about the fact that B'chol HaSheretz HaShoretz, talk about insects that crawl on the ground, but then it also says Al Ha'aretz, on the ground. So which one is it? So the Gemara basically says, if you knew for a fact that you touched the dead Sheretz, then you're Tame. If it's a Suffolk, then you're Tahor. V'Reb Shimon my Taima, Amar Ula Ksiv Ach Mayan Uksiv Yitma, HaKeitzad, Tzafa B'chilim Tame B'karka Tahor. The Pasuk says in Parashat Shmini, that if you have, in other words, if a person immerses themselves in a spring of water, they become tahor. So the Gemara makes the following distinction, that according to Reb Shimon, if the Sheretz is floating in a vessel, so then you are going to be tahor. But if it's floating underground, in a mayan or a boar, so then you are in fact going to be tahor.